Blog Talk Radio.
I am Mr. Computer Buffer. I don't know if y'all can hear me, but I have a little technical difficulties. Ran in here. There we go. There we go.
She said, yeah, you better come out with it. Go ahead, girl, we got you surrounded. I'm in the back, changed in my outfit. She said, Blitz, we was in the house. I said, wait, here I come, here I come, here I come. You boys be ready, cause here I come, here I come, here I come. She said, yeah, you better come out with it. Go ahead, girl, we got you surrounded. I'm in the back, changed in my outfit.
Yo, what's going on, people? It's your man, Beach Bum Gun, live on the off-ramp, December 8th, 2022. Hope wherever you're at, you're in good spirits, good health. You're in a good mood. I hope you're in a positive space. A motivated space. I hope you're feeling good. I hope you're having a good day. Well, shout out to my mom. She just texted me. I know she listens. She just got a call that her friend passed away at 8 o'clock tonight. So rest in peace, Miss Pat. I ain't know her, but my sister knew her, and, you know, one of my mom's good friends. So blessings go out to her and her family, and keep my mom in your prayers. She's pretty upset about this. She's one of her good friends and one of her buddies. So it sucks when, you know, as we get older, you start thinking about, like, your parents and having to take care of them and all that good stuff. And you don't think about how, you know, as people get older, they start dying. Like, your parents are still, like, really affected because, you know, they start to see the mortality in themselves. Shout out to DJ C. Sire making all the noise because she gets a grudge. She just got home from work. So if you lost someone lately, you know, I pray that you have the energy to fight through it. You know, you always say, well, I hope you feel better. I mean, eventually time heals, you know, but, you know, you just got to, if you're a crier, you just got to cry it out. And if you're not, then if you're like me, then, you know, have a drink, have a couple laughs, laugh at the good times. Me and Def has always had a weird relationship. DJ C, sorry, welcome to the offer. You like, you want to say something? Oh, you want to know, one of my mom's friends died an hour ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so.
Oh. Good evening. Hi.
Welcome, DJ C. Sire. Happy Thursday. I'm trying to get this this Twitch up and running. I need my sister, but, you know, she's obviously with my mom, so I can't knock her. So shout out to my nephew. He was supposed to join us on Twitch today. I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe. See what happens. Fuck it. See what happens. Got my man Hove in the building. Hove, welcome. Yeah, you know, put my sexy face. And we have to tell that story once we get to the gay section. Hove, welcome to. I don't want to bring my man Hove right off to the gay section.
Oh, it's okay. What?
No, we love the gays around.
That's right.
We're just not in love with the gays.
We're not in love with the non-gays. We're not in love with these people either.
I'm in love with you. You're non-gay.
I'm just saying.
See, you're fucking
talking to someone generally over the radio stream.
Hey, I love.
You don't have to caveat that neither.
I love everybody. So let's try this again. Hope, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing, my brother?
What's good, brother? What's poppin'?
Not much. Glad to have you on, man. You be out here BSing, man. You ain't been on the show in weeks, man. Where the fuck you been at, yo?
Bro, coach. I'm on the West Coast. It's only 7 o'clock here, man. Oh, y'all in the late night hours. It's still early.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. You do
You are, like, just getting off work and, like, just getting the kids moving around. Where we're drinking wine and popping mollies at this time.
Y'all popping mollies tonight?
I wouldn't mind it. I've never taken a molly. I'm, like, I would love to try that type of stuff, but I'm fat. You know, my heart ain't. I got high blood pressure. Like, I don't want anything that's going to take me out. Like, my biggest fear has always been the limb bias situation. I don't want to be the person that decides to try something to have fun, and then I just drop dead, and everybody's, like, disappointed. Because everyone will say...
You say everybody's going to be disappointed?
Yeah, because, like, let's say I take a bump of cocaine and die. You know what you gonna say, ho? He should have just stuck to weed. Why he deal with
it? Sure would.
You'll be disappointed in me. Because I don't, it's not like I need it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, man, doing way too much.
Right. So that's why I don't want to be the one to take the one bump of cocaine and then be everybody be disappointed in me. So, you know. It is what I guess it is what I don't know how we got on there. I got my man Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the offering, my brother. How you holding up?
Oh man, you know I'm blessed and highly favored, man. Feeling good. I would have been on a little while ago, man. You ever like just not passed out, you just like be in the middle of something? And as you know, it's an hour later or an hour and a half later, and you don't know what you was doing for the last hour. You realize you were asleep.
Yeah, you just passed out. Yeah, you're too old to be passing out.
Yeah, I realized I had a long day yesterday and everything and today. But, man, I don't even know what I was – I forgot what I was trying to do. I was doing something. And next you know, I looked up like, ooh, that was about 75 minutes ago.
Damn. Yeah.
Ain't no fun. Felt good, though. Felt good. Felt real good.
Well, a good nap would do you good, yo. But I said it last week. You're supposed to do something. Me and the wife are supposed to do something. And my cousin, she was in town for Thanksgiving. And we decided, like, she hit us up. And I love my family. But, you know, they're a little off. So she hit us up and was like, hey, I'm in town. I leave tomorrow. I want to see y'all, but I'm not coming to your house to see you. You got to drive 30 minutes to come see me. And I'm not home now because I'm taking my kid shopping. So I'll let you know when I get home so y'all can drive and come see me. So I was just like, all right. You know what I mean? I was just like, all right, whatever. Right. But so I was like, all right, well, you know, she out shopping. You know, we'll probably hit her up later or whatever. Then next thing I know, we took a nap because, you know, she hit me up early in the day. We wind up taking a nap, so she hits me up at like 6, like, yo, come on through. That nap did me in, you know, I don't want to do anything at that point. It's not like I didn't want to see her or the family or the kids. At this point, I just didn't want to do anything. So I was just like, yeah, we're going to meet. So that's what happened. So. I'm glad.
Yeah, man, a well-timed or a poorly timed nap, that'll mess up your day.
Yeah. I don't know how to do this shit. All right, man, we got to get right into it, man. It's been a busy, busy week, man. Busy, busy week. A lot of news that happened. A lot of big topics, especially on Black Twitter, so we got to get right into it. But the biggest news of the day or of the week, we might as well address it now. When the fuck did Baker Mayfield get to the Rams? I turned on the game.
My child just told me.
Why the hell is he
Wednesday,
on the Rams?
Wednesday, bro. Or Tuesday. He got cut, and they picked him up because Stafford hurt.
He got cut?
I can't believe he's playing, though. Yeah, he got cut.
Well,
he got cut Monday.
They just cut him. He asked, like, yo, can y'all release me? And he told him exactly why.
Crazy.
Yeah, he was done playing.
That's crazy. So I guess the Rams just chalked up the season. All right, but serious news. Where y'all want to start at first? Well, let's start with Brittany Griner. Let's start with Brittany Griner. Brittany, Britt is home. There's a picture going around of her eating, like, chicken fingers in the jail cell. I wish my man New York was on because it looks exactly like him. And I'm not saying that as a shot to him or her, but I wish, like, if I could share the picture of the famous picture of Brittany Griner and share a picture of my man New York, y'all would start crying laughing. So I hope New York calls in tonight so we can discuss him getting flying back from Russia.
Hey, do you have your phone?
What'd you say?
You missed the key part of that picture. That is not a jail cell.
Where's she at?
That's a strip club.
Oh, that's a strip club? Oh, with some ass in there?
Yeah.
It looks like a jail?
That looks like a terrible strip club.
Put a dollar on the chair.
Hey, sometimes you throw a dollar to pick a dollar up. You throw $2, let one hit the floor, slide your foot, pick it up.
You think she was in jail? You thought they gave her some chicken nuggets before she left?
I thought that's what she was eating in Russia. I thought they gave her some chicken nuggets.
Okay.
I assume jail, you can make chicken nuggets.
In Russia jail?
I mean, I don't know. I guess they'd have goulash. I've seen Rock before. Don't look good. So Britt is home. Joe Biden traded the Merchant of Death for Brittany Griner. It's a lot of talk on the internet about it. It's a lot of conversation on the internet about it. I didn't realize the movie Lord of War. It's so many intricacies to this story. For me personally, I didn't realize the Nicolas Cage movie Lord of War was about this dude. So then now my question goes to Nicolas Cage. He just said, fuck the Russian action. Like, that's why I didn't know.
He didn't say that. The director said, we got Nicolas Cage. Oh, we ain't doing no Russian action.
That man sounded like he was from Massachusetts or New York or something. He sounded like a straight American. I didn't realize he was supposed to be Russian in that movie. And then the movie doesn't seem like that. Go ahead, Blair.
No, you were going right where I was going. I was like, yo, so it's like based off of that, right? Because in the movie, he was a cool dude. Like, you felt sorry for him at certain points. Like, and at certain points, he was working with the U.S. government, if I'm not mistaken. Like, that ain't the real Merchant of Death or whatever. I hope that ain't his real story.
I mean, if it is the real Merchant of Death, it makes me look at this NBA trade a little bit differently. It seemed like a good deal because he didn't seem like a bad guy. It seemed like people wanted guns. He knew how to get them guns. He helped out some African folks. They ripped up a plane and got some money for it. He didn't seem like that bad of a guy. Now, the name Merchant of Death is a terrible, terrible name. Like, it makes me feel like you're an evil villain. But Nicolas Cage didn't seem like that bad of a guy. It seemed like he was a man. He was a man and living the American dream, even though he was Russian. But I didn't know he was Russian. But, you know, he was just trying to dodge the law and make some money out of it. If you countries would stop trying to shoot and kill each other, he wouldn't have a job. How do you blame the provider? I never understood why y'all got mad at the drug dealers. It's people who take drugs. I never understood it. So, one, that was my question. Blur answered my first question. So, Ho, did you ever see Lord of War? I think we watched it when we were living together in Maryland.
Oh, we've watched it tons of times. Nah, I mean, I don't remember that part if it was in there.
I mean, he was Russian.
Like,
he wasn't a part. That was his person.
No, but I'm saying, like, they would have never gave us that unless they said something about him moving from Russia. Because, you know what I mean, he lived here, but obviously the Merchant of Death or whatever lived here too Like, there'd be no other reason for him to be in an American prison unless he lived here at some level.
Yeah. Okay. So first reaction. Let me go first reaction. DJ Cesar is eating, so I'll come to you last. Blair, what was your first reaction on Brittany Griner being traded? And first of all, let me ask you this, Blair. Who won the trade, Russia or the USA? Who got the better deal at the trade deadline?
Can it be a push? Because I don't really think. I mean, the most he definitely
like
might.
Both teams got.
I mean, he might still be able to do something, but is he really? Especially if we know about him and we got him, like he on all types of watch lists. But I guess they might be able to move him around. He might be able to do his thing under the radar, maybe. Yeah, just off of that potential. The potential alone, I'm going to have to say Russia won the trade. Russia got the better end. I mean, we might have snipped his wings a little bit. Like, where he going to get his merch from? Like, he got to be able to get his guns and stuff. And I know we don't control all of that, but, I mean.
You think
like,
about
you
that
take,
man's connection?
I mean, if you take somebody, didn't we have him for like 7 years?
Oh, like, no, he did back to the team, bro. He did 17 of the 25.
All his connects done dried up. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, if he work hard enough, but, I mean, I've seen people come out after a long time. It's like, it's rough to get started, and they just be on the block. Like, this dude got to go, like, from country to country to build connections again. I don't know if he's going to be able to just do that.
Yo, Russia traded to get him back. Believe you me, he got what he needs.
I mean, but did Russia need him? Like, I kind of felt the whole time, like, yeah, we're going to get something. But, like, I mean, they weren't hurting or nothing. It's not like they missed out on any gun sales. It was right there.
I mean, if we think about this, Russia losing a war to Ukraine, they might need him to get shit popping. This might have been a move to get things back cracking.
Yeah, you got to remember, like, he was selling guns to Al-Qaeda, Africa. It wasn't just Africa, Al-Qaeda. He was out there in Iran, Iraq. He had guns everywhere.
So who won
the
trade?
Even if he don't have guns, he got connections. He can get you in touch with people that you typically can't get in touch with.
So who you think won the trade?
Oh, Russia by far. What we get?
We got
like in the real. And what does that do for the country?
A good basketball player gives you, you know, she can go on a book tour. She can tell you about maybe she got some intel. She could tell you she was a hot commodity in the Russia jail. She might be able to tell you, you know, what's it like being overseas in prison. She might be a beacon of an example.
So you agree we got nothing?
Would you say, Hove? DJ C-Sign.
You agree we got nothing?
I don't think that's how it works. I mean, I know you posed the question. It's kind of ignorant. It's not listening.
Who won the trade?
I don't know how.
I mean, the Eagles won the trade against the Titans.
It's
we got AJ Brown.
Titan trade.
We won.
They were. I mean, I don't know, y'all. I don't know the accuracy of this. I just read they were kind of like saying that people in the know said that trading him for, or letting him out is kind of like equating a, you know, a drug dealer from the 90s out. So it's like he's on these lists, kind of like what Will was saying. He's not able to move like he would have back then.
I don't know what all y'all so worried about. Y'all thought the COVID vaccine was putting microchips in people. You don't think they stabbed this dude up in jail?
Oh, yeah.
If all y'all conspiracy theory people start thinking about, you don't think the government put a chip in him so we know where he moved to? What y'all worried about?
And he's Russian. We don't care about
who's
his
y'all?
Well. We don't care about his rights.
Would you say, Ho?
I was like, I don't know who y'all is. Who thinks that they put a chip in a shop?
Where you been at, yo? You can't tell me this is the first you heard of these crazy people thinking that the COVID shot is a microchip implant.
Nah, I never heard about
that. One chip.
Yo, you in Arizona, half of them believe it. That's why the Mexicans ain't get it, because they think it's got GPS and they don't want to know that they're out
of
the
Stop.
I love Mexico.
At least you consistent.
He's so consistent. I love Mexico. So speaking of the gays, I get caught in the weirdest situations. So I'm at a basketball game with my son tonight and one of his best friends. So I ordered DoorDash because DJC Siren is working. So I was like, let me just get some grub right there so we can eat real quick. I can start the show and the kid, blah, blah, blah. Perfect timing. I'm getting out of the car. A car pulls up. And the car pulls up real aggressive. Like, I have to stop and I stare at the car because I feel like they came to the point where I'm like, yo, I don't know if you're going to run me over or not. So she gets out the car. You DoorDash?
No, my name.
And I was like, nah, but I ordered something. She's like, Jersey Mike's? And I was like, yeah. So she gave it to me. She's like, here you go. I was like, all right. She then stopped and looked at me and was like, you one of them big sexy niggas. And like just walked away. And I was like, yeah, nah, I feel violated. Like I understand women's pain. And she clearly was gay. But I think she was just complimenting me. But it felt so aggressive that I felt like I should have squared up on her. And I just left a girls' basketball game. So, like, I'm trying to be conscious of, you know, hey, you can't judge these women. You know, women come in all shapes, sizes, and colors, and creeds, and different sexes, and love different sexes. But when this gay lady just called me a big sexy nigga, like, I felt threatened. And I felt like I couldn't, like, approach her, like, yo, don't talk to me like that, because I'm saying it to a woman. So now I feel like I've witnessed how women feel when they get catcalled and they feel like they can't do nothing. So I just want to say I empathize. So back to the merchant.
I think that's the utmost compliment.
Yeah, it was crazy. Man. She was real aggressive.
I love to call you inward.
I don't understand how women get like are upset when men can't call them, but y'all don't care when the gay girls do it.
You never
been accosted by a gay?
No.
I don't think I've ever been accosted by a gay man. Y'all ever been accosted by a gay man?
Accosted? Stop using accosted.
Is that a bad word? I didn't want to say assaulted.
It's not assault.
I said accosted, like approached.
Approached, okay. You can say approached.
I've never been approached by a gay dude. Blur, you been approached by a gay dude before?
Nah, man, not at all.
Hove?
Nah.
I don't think that's something they do, man, because it can get kind of dangerous for them. So I don't think that's, just, like, in general something they do. That's why I think it's okay, or not okay. I think that's why women don't feel as bad when a lesbian cat call or approach them, because, you know, the threat of violence isn't as high if they say the wrong thing or if they say no.
I don't know. The dude who handed me my sandwiches looked like he could box or she could box. Like, I was, like, I, the girl, I'm sorry. Look, I knew I was in for a tussle. She wasn't no lightweight. Like I'm above her weight class, but not like, she wasn't no lightweight. She's about a middle heavy. But, nah, she'd knock you out. Look, I'd have to really punch her in the face if she got mad at you. I don't think you can win that one, baby. You'd have to go low and hold on tight. But, yeah, shout out.
Yo, that'd be funny as heck. I would love to see that video. You and DJ C-Star have to jump a chick.
Yo. Look, I told DJ C-Side, look, and shout out to all my folks back in Jersey, I love y'all. I told DJ C-Side about Big Man that, like, you couldn't tussle with Big Man in a one-on-one. Big Manda. You would have to jump Big Manda.
See, no, you know what? That's a myth, man. Because, yeah, Big Manda was big.
No.
She was big, but she wasn't agile. And she was still a female. I don't mean she was, like, taking a punch. All you got to do is don't let her grab you because, I mean, she was big. So if she put her hands on you, you're going to have a rough day.
See?
But if you – all you got to do is step back because she wasn't going to run. Like, get your good step back in and then come in with a jab and it was game over.
See, you're the person who didn't get caught by Big Man in the back of the bus when you had to take the we had to hit the emergency door and risk getting in trouble. You wasn't trapped like I was. Shout out to Big Man, love her. She's a sweetheart, but if Big Man got aggressive, he was in for it, tough.
Wait, you got trapped in the back of the bus by Big Man?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, you
had to pull that emergency door.
No, you hopped out the back of the bus.
Yeah, I wasn't ready, yo. I wasn't ready, yo. But the thing she was trying to grab, I wasn't ready for anyone to grab at that point in my life. I just wasn't there yet.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, big hands too, and it made me feel bad. So back to the immersion of death. Shout out to Big Man. Like, I love Big Man. She was a wonderful person. Wonderful person. But you ain't want to dustle Big Man, you know. But we're talking that shit. Big Man to knock Blair out. But back to the immersion of death, Brittany Griner. So people are upset on the interwebs because Joe Biden didn't get some Marine dude. But the Marine dude is locked up in Russia for espionage. I don't understand why y'all think that Joe Biden got any control over what was going on. I guarantee Putin said, go ahead, Hove.
One of y'all might know. So was the dude already dishonorably discharged from the Marines?
Oh, that I don't know. I saw that on the internet, but I didn't feel like reading. That doesn't
matter. That's why I was like, I don't. I mean, it does in the trade. Like, you don't trade for somebody that's dishonorably discharged.
But we don't know. But he's locked up over there for espionage. So we don't know if that's – I mean, I've seen enough spy movies to know they might have said that just to give it a cover of America. Mm-hmm. He's locked up for espionage. He ain't locked up for weed. He ain't locked up for fighting in public. This is Russia. He ain't locked up for being gay. He's locked up for espionage. That's spy stuff. So we might have in the print that he was dishonorably discharged just because we don't want Russia to think that he was an active military person. But there's a good chance that it's one of those, you know, if you get caught, you just out of all of our systems.
And that might be the fact where they're saying, you know, the charges he has against him are completely false, completely made up, and there's nothing, that's what at least the government is saying. Like, this is just straight up something that Russia has, fraudulent charges is what the U.S. is saying, too.
Because I got buddies that are Marines, and... You know, they have a certain outlook on other countries at this point. They've all turned Republican. They all love guns. They all think America's the greatest.
That's military. No.
That's extreme military.
That's military. Yeah,
young Scrabby ain't like that. He's a head of Army general.
So. I know.
But what I'm saying is, if you're a Marine, you're one of those crazy type people. Why would you go to Russia? Like, only because I'm just saying, I know the mentality of these people because, I got a best friend that's a Marine. Love him to death. And we have great discussions on government and history and politics. And it gets testy because we're coming from two different worlds and two different places. And there's things that he's seen in life where it's changed his views. So we have very lively discussions. And I love him to death. I don't think you could pay him any amount of money to step in some of these countries, let alone Russia. So then my question is, I'm just assuming at this point that he was a real spy, because why would a Marine go to Russia? It's one of those things where it just doesn't make sense. And then why would we think that Russia would trade a spy for the Merchant of Death? But if you, what you're saying is the Merchant of Death isn't in these streets no more, Blair said it, whole thing, and he's still got connections. You know, he probably got a couple, you know, nuclear weapons in the tuck somewhere. But if he's out of these streets, why would you give up somebody who's been spying on you and you're trying to break him and trying to figure out where we got spies? Because we know we got spies over there. We know they got spies here. I know a couple of these Russian spies. I've met a couple of Russian people over here in my work, and I'm like, yo, you a spy. Yeah, you dumb as a door. No, I don't want to say they dumb. I'm sorry. But there's no reason why you should.
There's another reason why.
Yeah. Some shit just ain't make no sense. So I said I've met a couple of these Russian spies. So I guess my question is, do you think it would have been, should we have let Brittany stay there and traded for the Marine, in y'all opinion? Hov, I'll let you go first.
I mean, I have no idea. I only heard about the Marine today, so I really didn't know anything about him. I don't know. I mean, I guess the only thing I would say is, yeah, I would figure that our government has at least some idea of how dangerous this dude actually could still be. We have no idea. I don't know anything about AR-15s and rocket launchers and nuclear weapons. Like, I don't know how deep that game goes, but I know if you let out a kingpin of drug dealing after 15 years of prison, typically he back in the streets.
You think
we're not talking about
back?
The dude that's on the block. We talking about the dude that you can't find.
You think a Big Meech gets back?
I feel
back
like
in
those guys still calling shots.
They said Big Meech out here still calling shots. Blur, what about you?
Well, it's weird, and I think this is a, and I guess it comes in who you get the news from, how it's framed. Like, the Marine dude was never on the board, like, from Russia. Like, when I first saw the story for Brittany Griner first thing in the morning, like, that was, like, the very next story or, like, part of the story. Like, Biden and the administration was trying to get both of them. Like, they were still pushing, trying to get him and her. And Russia was like, nah, we ain't going for that. It's the basketball player for him or nothing. Like, forget about the white guy. Like, he's not involved in this. We ain't, y'all can't bump it up. Y'all can't go catch somebody else and we try to do a two for two. Nah, it's her for him or it's nothing at all. So, apparently, like, they was trying to get him. They wanted him. They was trying to bring dude home, but Russia wasn't having it. So, I mean, I know we like to think that we was in, like, full control of the negotiations, but, I mean, Russia, I mean, they had what they was holding on to and what they was willing to give up and what they wasn't willing to give up.
And that's what I kept saying. I don't know why people think that USA had any control over this negotiation. Like, I don't think, and it's got to be the first time that a black woman has been chosen over a white male before. Like, we got to clap it up for society. Almost, we're almost at equality. When they said, not the white dude stays. Like, we're almost at equality. Martin Luther King's dream. It's almost Martin Luther King Day. It's a celebration, bitches. DJ C-Sire, do you think we should have, you think we should have traded for the Marine? You think Joe, well, now we don't know what's going on in the background. But due to Brittany Griner just being a basketball player, and I don't want to diminish her career or anything like that, because I would love to be a professional athlete, but someone who served this country, and again, we don't know about his discharge. I'm not even throwing that in there. But we know he was a service of the military. Do you think that the presidency should have tried to get someone who served the military home first more than a basketball player who violated a drug policy?
No, I mean, I think that would be ridiculous that your government is going to say, you know, I mean, number one, we feel like this is a unfair thing from another country. And if this country tells us we're going to release this person, like, oh, no,
Don't keep her. We're waiting for this other person. No, come on. It's like, no, we need our citizens to return. And if this is what y'all offering, we're going to go with it. So, I mean, I say kudos to y'all, though, you know, hey, black woman. I mean, you know, we
y'all been winning lately, y'all. Yeah, I'm telling you, got a real good album. Kiki Palmer out here pregnant.
I know. Look, Stacey Abrams. We still got to work with Stacey.
Oh, she's in Georgia.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, people are going to be upset about it because they love to, you know, I mean, now that, you know, in being with you, you know, everyone loves to shit on the athletes, you know, they're not worth anything.
All they do
is just play games and things like that. So, you know, I just don't like that you're diminishing this person just because.
Look at my baby, you're growing. Look at my baby growing.
I don't know why you're not considering this person worthy. And, you know, because you decided to join the, you know, I just don't, you know, let's not play that game. So I think that's ridiculous to say that your life isn't worth, you know, saving from torture just because, you know, you just do this or you're not in the military or you're not important enough to our society.
I want to know. I just want to have a real conversation with Brittany because I'm pretty sure it was a terrible experience. I mean, being in jail, just, you know, being in a penal colony just sounds awful. But I still want to know if, like, she was in there, like, running the jail cell. Because a tall, black, gay woman in a woman's prison has to be a hot commodity. Like, I know somebody was getting her hash browns for her. I know she had the top bunk. I don't know if they got bunks. Like, I just imagine, like, if somebody had a real honest conversation with Bradley, she's like, nah, man, all them bitches did whatever I needed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she bigger than all of them.
Like, she could punch him in the face. Like,
really. Brittany would get big man and run.
Yeah. But then again, we don't know how tightly run shift this is. The security guards could have been the ones abusing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. See, now
I mean, that happens
as dark
well.
Stuff.
Right. I mean, yeah, you know, yeah. You don't know. The people with guns and batons.
Yeah,
and stuff
please
like
don't
people.
Take. Yeah, please don't take my jokes to run.
I mean, no,
she won't
I'm
do
sorry,
that.
I'm sorry to go that way, but I'm sorry. That's
scary. But you're right. You're right. Hey, I'm cracking these jokes.
But you know.
Go ahead, Hoof.
You know she was on, 16-hour work duty or whatever they call it.
Like, nah, I don't know anything.
Out in Russia. Like, that's part of the reason that it happened is they put her in some kind of, I don't know what it's called, work something. But she was out, doing labor in the cold. Like, obviously, Russia is cold. Like, it's not pleasant. I think they said no shoes and it's work outside and she was doing 16 hours of work and only allowed to eat once a day.
She's probably in amazing shape. She got on that keto diet. Is she going to come back dunking on bitches?
She's an awful.
I'm sorry. No, I'm glad she's on. I mean, that sounds
rough.
She was doing a Rocky IV workout.
Yeah, basically.
Hey, we got my man New York on the line. New York. And look, I said it while you was going. I'm gonna say it to your face. When I saw that famous picture of Brittany Griner, I thought it was you, yo. Have you seen the picture?
Crazy. Hold on, what picture?
Yo,
what picture though?
Side by side. Look, and it's not like you look like a female because I mean we know Brittany Griner's attributes. You know, she looks like a guy, but yo, she's your doppelganger.
I'm telling you.
She's the 6'5" version of you.
There's tons of lesbians that look like Justin Bieber. It's okay.
Yeah, I work with one of them. I keep wanting to call her Justin Bieber. She cool as a fan though.
Is New York in the chat? Like the tech group?
Yeah, New York in the building. New York.
I'm gonna post it in there.
Post it in there. I gotta see it. But y'all mean she about six foot? What is it? 6'5"? Y'all mean doppelganger? Y'all mean I'll take that. I'm 5'7". Hey.
All right. So look, we got an hour and 15 minutes left. We gotta get to the main topic. Deion Sanders leaves Jackson State University. Wow, it's sent shockwaves through the black community. I did not realize how impactful someone leaving a college could be. And look, I have my jokes about HBCUs. I argue with my family because I have so many family that went to HBCUs. I myself didn't. I don't know why y'all called it a PWI because my school was about 50-50.
Oh, you've lied.
No, I'm serious. If you look up at Towson, we're 50-50. We're really diverse school. I'm just saying. So I don't know why we're predominantly white. I guess it's predominantly white over black because we have so many Asians and all that stuff. But man, the shockwave. So I want to give the floor to the HBCU folks first to get your opinion. I know me and Blair, we've been talking about it. Me, Blair, and my brother's been talking about this for about 3 days. So let me – hold on, DJ. He's hiring what?
This is the most current 73% white, 14.8 black or African-American.
No, that's not right. That's not right because I just looked it up the other day. You probably got an old article. So, DJ Cesar, because I know you're not going to have too much on it, how do you feel about the Deion Sanders era at Jackson State University as an HBCU alumnus?
Alumni. But,
you black schools don't use the S's?
No, it's called Latin.
I'm not Latin, I'm black.
All women, it's A-E. Anyways, but it's alumni. Anyway, so alumnus, I guess. Okay. Anyway, I guess.
Did it bother you at all? Did it have any effect?
It was about to until you laid it all out for me, and now I understand, and I was like, you're right, so I can't be mad. I ain't mad at it. I mean, I guess you just wish you could have had more of a legacy. It seemed like he was doing good work with the school. We were getting, you know, they were getting the notoriety. They were getting, I like it, notoriety. It seemed like they were probably getting a little more money. It seemed like they were, you know,
a lot more money,
a lot more notoriety, more media, and wins. So, I mean, that's what you want. And it seemed like, you know, there was this new focus and highlight on black schools and them being able to foster and, and really send, you know, talented players to, you know, the next level. But so you wanted to see that for more than what, 2 years?
3 years.
3 years. But, you know, hey, like Beach Bunga said, you're going to do the same job for a couple million more? Yeah, I will. Like, I'm not going to stay there. It's unfortunate that, you know, I mean, and Jackson State's not going to miraculously come up with a few million dollars just to pay, you know, to pay them. So, I'm not mad.
I don't know, for far, I almost came over a couple minutes.
I mean, you can do a scam. You can scam somebody. But yeah, so, I think we're just a little disappointed, a little hurt, and that comes off as, being so angry. You know, someone I think I'd read, you know, well, he said it's not about the money. It's always, must be the money.
He didn't lie to us yet. We just keep believing the God stuff. He didn't lie to us yet. All right, let me go to Blur. Good. I haven't said my opinion yet. Cause, I mean, I think it's so many nuances. So, Blur, what is your initial thoughts about and your feelings regarding Deion Sanders leaving Jackson State?
You sure you want me to go right now, man? Because you know I could go. I got strong and a lot of thoughts and feelings on this, and I hate to frame it under my point of view for anybody. Like, you sure you want me to go right now?
Okay, well, let me jet. New York never has a lot, so let me see. New York, you got any comment on Deion leaving?
I mean, if he left for a better look, I mean, hey, I mean, I could graduate and support him, do him. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, he made a decision that was for him, and I support it.
Okay, Hov?
Nah, I want Blur to go before me.
Okay, Blur.
I
want to
hear what your man got for me.
Okay.
Right.
I know Blur about to give 1,000 bars. So go ahead, Blur. Now look, try not to go into too many nuances because I want to take it each subject at a time. I left 1 hour and 10 minutes for us to discuss it. So, you know,
I'll try to go big picture. Big picture. And I'm gonna start with Love. Gun, you may know. I was a Deion Sanders fan before anything else. Like, I grew up rooting for that man before I had a football team. I was a fan of him. That said.
Yep. Posters on the wall.
Posters on the wall. Multiple jerseys. I start with Love. Deion Sanders is now a head coach at a Power 5 conference. He's a black man. Head coach at a Power 5 conference, not many of them. He said as well, usually when a black coach loses these jobs, they're not replaced with other black men. He's one of them. That's to be applauded, to be clapped for, to be appreciated. Kudos to you. You earned that.
Number 14. Number 14, right? 14th head football coach 14. In FBS. 14 out of 139.
Yeah, something like that. There's something around there. Only one in that conference. So
okay.
That's to be clapped for. I mean, you secured the bag for your family, as he's always done. I remember the Nike commercials. I don't even know if it was Nike commercials back in the day. Deion, you want 15 or 25 million? Both. Get the bag. Gonna always secure the bag. $5 million a year for making just under, like, around $300,000 a year, some things are just a no-brainer. I mean, you got this in this hand, you got $5 million a year in this hand. Go with the $5 million. Again, kudos to you. Like, some things you just don't have to think about. That said, big picture, this was about more than football. It was about more than money. And it was about more than football and more than money because he said it was about more than football and about more than money. The man went to Jackson State with promises and a grandiose idea and a plan. This is what we're doing. And he never made it just about Jackson State. It was for HBCUs and for our kids. Our kids, not meaning – yeah, we'll make it racy, not meaning just football players, just like black kids going to HBCUs, going to show them, hey, you don't have to go to these big PWIs. You don't have to listen to these coaches and put you in disrespecting situations and things like that that you hear about from all these schools. You could come and play for and play with your people and still make it to the league and get to achieve your goals. I'm going to show you that. I am going to usher in a new era for HBCUs, level the playing field with these Power 5 conferences. These are things that he said he was going to do. He didn't say, I'm going to do this just for Jackson State. Jackson State was going to be the vehicle that he was going to try and do this for the entire culture. I just say culture as a HBCU culture, kind of like how we talked about the majorette dances and everything. Some things are black people and some things are HBCU. He was doing this for the HBCU culture. As a collective. And now you could say 3 years, but it really wasn't. That first season was a spring season, a shortened season, so not too much time. Just enough time getting his feet wet, see what's what. Cool. So in 2 seasons, after you just came in with these lofty, grandiose ideas, and you showed, like, hey, we on the roll. We getting this thing started. Y'all can see I came in, I told y'all I was going to do these things, and look, y'all can see the ball rolling. Y'all can see the boulder rolling. Because the boulder roll, we're going to have to push this boulder if we're going to compete with these Power Fives, like I said we're going to do. Got to flip the
boulder.
Flip the number one prospect in the country. Got all these 4 or 5 star prospects and people who were recruited to Power Five now coming to play here. It was a whole big deal. The number of 4 or 5 stars that Deion brought to HBCUs. Cool. You see, if I could, if we do this, if I do this here, and we're going to get you doing that there, and you doing that there, and I'm on ESPN, I'm on 60 Minutes, I'm on ABC, hey, come check us out, come check us out, come check us out. We, as a collective of HBCUs, are better than put us on. Why y'all got Fresno State on? Put us on. Watch these games instead of those games. Don't put us on ESPN 7 or ESPN. Put us right there. Front line, don't just have our score going across the bottom. Show us. We're going to make it to ESPN, the main stage, the big lights, because we deserve it. And in 2 years, actually, we'll keep it straight. After one full season, the plan to leave was already in the bag. The dude from Colorado was already made to say, hey, after the first season, right before it was announced that he flipped Travis Hunter, he had already put the plan in. He went to the AD at Colorado. Like, yo, we need to go get Deion Sanders. Give me the green light. I'm going to get him. He's coming here. I don't know if he can coach. He got the number one recruit. He could do that for them. He could do that for us. This was after the first season, in the offseason, before this past season even started. He spent like $2 to $5 million just giving out money to other people he thought Deion would trust, so they could put the word in to bring him over. And then what did he do? He leaves. He leaves. Again, I started with love. Secured the bag. He's now a black man coaching in the Power Five. All great things. Bringing in some, not, I don't know if the predominantly black coaching staff, but black people on the coaching level in there, who then hopefully will branch out, and then they'll get other jobs in Power Fives. Cool. But you came in with lofty, grandiose ideas, promises, and a plan to do this stuff for all of HBCUs, and after a year of some change, you're out. You said you were going to prove to our kids that you don't have to go to PWIs, and then what do? As soon as you start getting some of our kids, you leave to a PWI. So are you proving to them that you don't need them, or are you saying that's exactly what you need? Said you want to raise the bar and level the playing field with PWIs. How are you doing that if you leave and go to a PWI? Said you want to usher in a new era for HBCU football. Did you usher in a new era? It don't feel like a new era to me. Because, yeah, you went undefeated. Yeah, you got 2 SWAC championships. Cool. You're not the first person to do that. I actually looked it up. I looked it up because I wasn't sure, because people kept saying, like, yeah, if people wanted him to do all the things he said he was going to do, he's going to have to be there forever. No, you weren't going to have to be there forever. It wasn't going to take that long. And he's doing things no one's ever done before. No, he hasn't. As I mentioned again, because I talked about Doug Williams this time here. When I was in Grambling, Doug Williams won 3. Just his first round at coaching Grambling. 3 back-to-back-to-back SWAC championships, 2 black national championships. He left, came back, and did it again. Last time I talked about that gun, you said, hey, they should get that man a statue. Maybe they should. When Deion came in, he wasn't talking about just winning championships, because it's been done before. Now, I don't know when Doug did it, he didn't go completely undefeated, because our money games were against some big schools. Like, the first time he won the Black National Championship, the only loss we had that year was to Dez Bryant and them. Outside of that game, ran a table. Now, again, Doug didn't – he might have got some looks to go to some other schools. He left for the NFL. Totally understood. No one batted an eye. No one felt like he was running out on us. We knew why he was there. We knew why he was leaving. He never made any empty promises or lofty promises that he didn't keep. So, yeah, everybody can say you should be happy for Deion. He's doing these big things. Cool. Anytime, in any relationship, you have an agreement with somebody, you have promises, you guys have a plan, and the other person runs out, you have a right to be upset and to call that person out on it. And I think that's what all people are doing with Deion. Like, yo, we happy for you. A lot of, like, the AD at them is like, yo, we happy for what you did here. We happy for what you're going to do. People here, these kids, these people in the community, and all these people in HBCUs who are rallying behind you, yo, you just told us to get on the bandwagon and let's go. And then you got out the driver's seat. They have a reason to be mad at you getting out the driver's seat after you just told us to get in the car, we going somewhere. And that's what we, and I say we because I've been right there with it. I see what he's doing, and I think he did the right thing for him and his, but he did the wrong thing for everyone else who was supporting JSU, HBCUs, and everything, who believed what he said he was going to do.
Okay. A lot to unpack there. A lot to unpack. Hov, you want to respond?
Yeah, do you want to take me step by step? Did you take notes, or am I just responding overall?
No, you just respond overall.
All right.
I mean,
so,
me and Blur have had an argument last week, so I'm going to give other people the chance. Well, not really an argument. We've just been discussing it.
Just
so,
having
you
a
discussion know.
About So, yeah. All right, I'll start at the top. First off, anybody believed him when he said he was going to put HBCUs on a level playing field with Power Five? Like, you know nothing about football. Not college football, at least. Like, there was no chance of it.
See, now I'm going to cut you off, but let me say, and that's why I wrote that down when New York said, hey, he went for a better look. Why not? He got people. And everybody keeps saying that.
Let
like,
me tell
yo,
you
y'all
why.
Dummy for believing that.
Let me tell you why. First and foremost.
You got to let him talk.
First and foremost, he was there for 3 years, right? So he brought three recruiting classes in. You could say one was abbreviated. His first year, he still had a great recruiting class for any FCS program, right? But no other HBCUs are getting these kids. Just Deion. People aren't coming because it's the HBCU. They're coming because of Prime. They're coming because of what he brings to the institution. How many other coaches do you hear about taking half their salary and building it up to help the facilities of the program? Right? You're only going to get that if you find a coach that's already a millionaire. So of his 300, it was either he got 300 and he gave $150 or he got 600 and gave three of it. But his contract also had to pay his assistant coaches. Like, to understand the mindset of an FCS school, forget about it being an HBCU. You are not going to get to the level of a Power 5 school staying in the HBCU. I can tell you personally, I'm a football fan. I watch football from, like, Thursday to Sunday. And I probably watch three Jackson State games the whole time. Why? Because they're not playing anybody. They're playing the same FCS schools that have always been around. He got 4- and 5-star recruits. They got 1- and 2-star recruits. Like, Jackson State may have got on a lower Power 5 scale, but you're not flipping to a Georgia off of being prime. Like, you don't have the facilities. You don't have the money. You don't have the NIL deals. You don't have the support of the university. Like, to believe that he was going to put Jackson State, who if you ain't black or know about HBCUs, you don't even know who they are, on the map as a Power 5 school, like, that's ridiculous. Like, they don't have the money. They don't have the support. They don't have the resources. They don't have anything near it. Like, anybody that knew Prime before he went to Jackson State knew he interviewed at Florida State twice, didn't get the job twice. He interviewed at Miami, didn't get the job. He was not all about HBCUs in the beginning. He was about building a situation that put him and his family and his coaches on the map. And I don't know about at Colorado. I don't know much about the Colorado program, but I can tell you that he will be the only time that Prime gets on the national media is when he does an interview. At Colorado, every Pac-12 game he plays is going to be national television, not ESPN Friday afternoon at 6 o'clock. Like, nobody's watching that. Nobody even knows the game's on, right? Like, he didn't win a national championship at the FCS level. And honestly, I don't believe his team could compete for the national championship at the FCS level. Like, I don't think his team would have even made it to the national championship at the FCS level. So
Jackson
to think
State
that you can put that, what'd you say?
You talking about the Jackson State team?
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't be able to compete. Man, they wouldn't even be.
And I'm talking FCS. Just trying at one double A, like, yeah, they can win the Black National Championship. What does that mean? The rest of the teams, honestly, are trash. Like, we all know, like, when we played HBCUs in college, we expected to win every week. Like, and we in the same division. Like, to understand, like, the other side of it is, like, and you know, Blur, like, HBCUs just financially, facility-wise, resource-wise, are below the average FCS schools. Like, there was no way, like, what he did at Jackson, I don't think he's doing any more at Jackson State than what he did. Now, the issue I do have with him is that he sold a dream that he knew he wasn't trying to accomplish. He knew, like, the idea, if you actually look at when he jumped on to Colorado, Colorado right now is at rock bottom for their program. Like, they're at the lowest they could be. The Pac-12's losing 3 to 4 teams. Like, he's Prime is a businessman above everything. He jumped on to Colorado because it's a win-win situation. Like, you can't do any worse. But you jump into a conference, you become the only Black coach in that conference, a Pac-12 conference. Now, Stanford job's still available, but 9 times out of 10 it's not going to a Black dude. Right? Like, most of us know it's not going to a Black dude. Like, he's gonna be the only Black coach in the Pac-12. The best teams are probably leaving in a year. Like, what he can do at Colorado could, I'm not saying it will, but it could trump anything he could have accomplished at Jackson State, in my opinion. Like, he definitely sold a dream. He definitely let people down. Blair, I don't know. Blair, did you see the Bomani Jones answer on CNN?
Yeah, I actually saw it before that because I listened to Bomani's podcast 3 times a week, and on CNN he kind of just reiterated the same thing he said on his podcast, which – Gun knows Bomani, which I was waiting for him to speak on it because he had this in the tuck. When Prime first got the job, he was like, yo, I'm not applauding this. I need to see how this is going to play out because Prime is usually in it for Prime. He's not in it for these kids. He says he's in it for these kids, but Deion Sanders is always going to be in it for Deion Sanders, and it looks like he's in it for Deion Sanders. He said that
Absolutely.
When he first got the job, and everybody was applauding it. And even back then, I was like, yeah, that may be true, but did you hear what he said now? Like, you see the goal he got. And so, yeah, I saw what he said on CNN, which is, again, just reiterating the same stuff he had already said.
Gotcha. Yeah, and, like, I agree with Bomani on most of the feds. Like, if you heard what Prime always says, like, you kind of could read between the lines and know he ain't staying there long. Like, what it would have took to put Jackson State on a Power 5 level, like, I don't even know if he could have do it in his coaching lifetime. Like, there's just too many obstacles. Like, to think Nick Saban gets, what, 17 a year? 17 mil. Jackson State tried to counter. I don't know if you heard. Jackson State countered Colorado's offer by giving Prime $1 million, but saying you have to also pay all your coaches with that. Like, so you understand, no matter how much money he brings to the program, it can't all go to football. Right? There's Title IX. There's all these different things that cause, like, if Prime brings $10 million to the Jackson State football team, I believe $5 million of that has to go to the women's sports side of things. So even at his best, would you
just in terms of financial, just because I work at a university, I work at a state school, it doesn't necessarily, like, it's not necessarily like half has to go to Title IX. How they kind of frame it is, they can build a new facility, just other sports would also have to have access to it. So, like, you can build a new weight room and the state-of-the-art stuff as long as the girls' basketball.
But every sport's got to be able to touch it. So you probably give him more than that. Like, because you got to build it big enough for everybody to use it.
Right.
So
that's how they get around.
Like, so, like, everything he was going to try to do, and I don't even know if Prime knew how big. Honestly, he might not have known how big of an apple he was trying to chew. Like, when you get there and you see it and you start sitting down, you know, when you interview, everybody knows, when you interview for a job, they make the job sound like it's about to be the best job you ever had. And then you get to work and they're like, oh, nah, that was when you was interviewing, bro. Like, now you just an employee. Like, nah, them perks is gone. Like, that's just what it is. So I believe some of it is him not even knowing how big the apple was to chew. Like, it's not like he was in college football for all these years and had all these back. Like, he wasn't even in it. Turned down twice for Florida State, once for Miami, and once from another Power 5 school, but I forget who the school is. Like, you knew deep down, like, he wants to be the Nick Saban of college football, not the Eddie Robinson. Right, everybody know Eddie, but everybody knows Nick. And it's just a different thing, and I believe when you talk about winning as your pedigree and you're always going to win and you're always going to dominate, you're not dominating at Jackson State. Like, there are still 100 teams better than you, if not more. Like, you're not ever going to be that dominant. You'll flip a couple of kids, and hopefully that kid that he flipped from Florida State go somewhere in the portal, but
he's going to Colorado.
He did that. He did a couple of those kids real dirty if they don't go to Colorado with him. But I just don't think that anybody that believed the rhetoric that he was spitting was actually going to be true. If you paid attention to Prime, if you paid attention to college football, and you understand the landscape of the FCS to FBS, like. Me and Beach Bum and all of our team is like, man, like, we should have went to Power 5, if nothing else, to play in front of 70,000. Like, we thought 12,000 was dope.
Yeah. The difference.
Like, Prime difference was buying – when those kids were eating those dinners and you see the pictures of Jackson State, like, that was out of Prime pocket. Come on, man. He can't – he's never going to be able to do the things he said with the resources – and the support and just the level of play that's at Jackson State. Like, he was just never going to be able to do it. It was impossible.
Okay.
See, that's why I got to disagree with people. I got to disagree with people. Because I think he could have. Now, you're right. It was going to be a difficult road to plow, but he could have did it. He's already had two top 100 players. The number one, I mean, top, because I think the receiver was like 63 ranked recruit, and then you had Travis Hunter, the number one. He did, like, his first year was the spring year. He didn't recruit anybody for that. He just came and he coached the team. So he had one recruitment class, and then the second one was just this one right here. Now, yeah, I guess I don't even know if he brought anyone in for his first recruitment class. I think it was just all transfer.
Nah,
portal.
He did.
Did he
bring brought kids in?
I can't even remember. Because I know he brought his
he
kids,
brought
in,
kids in.
And then,
he turned
and then
a couple
he brought
kids.
These two, the wide receiver, and Travis Hunter was the big two. You know, that's number one and number 64 high schoolers in the country coming to Jackson State. So you mean to tell me, and it might have taken a while, I didn't even – no one wanted him to, like, play Alabama and beat them. He was trying to get that on that level. No one was expecting him to do that. But just to raise that, and I always said that all he really needed to do was get some of these high recruits, Travis Hunter, other wide receiver, somebody else, get them in and get them to the league through Jackson State, and that's enough. That's the blueprint. Now, that's the – when he talks about how he flipped Travis Hunter, he's like, yo, you don't have to pay us to come play for us. Brought him in through homecoming, and like, hey, this is us, baby. This is what we do. And if you come here, you're not just a football player. You are doing something for your people, for your community.
What is Travis Hunter doing, though?
He
like, what is
like
he doing for his people?
Being a number one recruit, showing that, hey, I don't have to go to a PWI. As the number one high schooler in the country, if I can make it at an HBCU and get to the league and have success, then any of y'all can do it, too. If it's good enough for
but
me as the number one high schooler in the country,
hold on.
If it's good enough
Blur,
for me, it's good enough for y'all.
Blur, but I need you to think with your educated mind and say, if I'm the best
kid in my craft in the nation, it doesn't matter what school I go to. He was Travis Hunter's going to the league regardless.
That's what Pop was saying.
It doesn't matter
what
school
he
goes
to. In the country. He was trying to get the top in the country, saying, look,
you
guys don't have to go and get disrespected by Lane Kiffin. You guys don't have to go to University of Missouri and be disrespected. Go be with your people because you're going to get to the league regardless. You're going to make it off of you.
But that's a small majority. Like, what you don't understand is there is 100-plus kids on a college football team. You are not flipping 100 kids to all go to HBCUs and make sure all the other HBCUs do the same. Like, that's my point.
You don't have, like, he don't have to flip the top of every class. He just has another dude, a four-star, like, 6'11", 350-pound offensive lineman who was going to Jackson State, committed to Jackson State. Soon as Prime left, he decommitted and committed to Colorado. All he needed was a couple
to follow
of them.
Prime. It wasn't Jackson State, though. That's my point. It's Prime. It's not HBCUs. It's Prime. You're not
and
going to get 30 other Primes at the other HBCUs.
All we needed was for him to do it. If he leads the charge, like I was on the call a couple of times, like, yo, he's Gino Auriemma right now. He's Gino Auriemma in women's basketball. He's going to raise everyone else just by him being dominant. That's all we needed him to do to actually get there. All Gino did was go undefeated, man.
Gino won
the
national championship. The best of
Gino.
You're comparing Prime at a DFCS where nobody watches the games to Gino, who's at the top. Even if it's the women's game, it's still the top of the top. It's the creme de la creme, right? When Gino's winning national championships at UConn, it is completely different than Prime winning the Black national championship. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I didn't even know that was a thing until, like, earlier this week. I didn't know y'all had your own championships at HBCUs. I just figured they was never good enough to be in the FCS.
Yeah, I didn't know y'all had a different playoff system.
Like,
hey,
that's the point. Like, he didn't win an FCS championship. He wasn't even close to it.
Hey,
and none of those teams have five-star recruits.
First,
I think he could have won. Five-star recruits
he
at
to be
North Dakota
yeah,
at JMU.
Consider us for a bowl game, a pre-New Year's Day bowl game. That's the goal. That's where I'm taking Jackson State. And I think he could have got there. Now,
no
again,
way.
I'm not saying he had to be Alabama level, but he was going to. He was creating that. And we saw
he wasn't even at ASU's level.
We saw
he wasn't even at Rutgers level.
Hey. I don't think it. I just want to point out, Hove, that I don't think you can have a small majority. Maybe if it was like three people and two, but I just
that's a small majority. It's five, and you got three. It's still small.
In comparison, I mean, but if five is the big, if five is the
exactly.
number, then three's a big number. If it's only five,
I mean, either way. He wasn't getting into a bowl. Like, he didn't even make it into the later rounds of the FCS. Like, you're talking about being in a Power 5 level, like not the Alabama or Georgia level, but he's not even at the South Carolina level.
He pulled one of South Carolina recruits. So
one of them, they have 150 kids.
Give me a couple years. Give me a couple years. Let us get our people, our linemen together. Let us get our offensive line together, and we'll be right there. Because he saw it coming. Everyone who's watching these games saw it coming. We're like, oh, you know
no,
what?
No, nobody.
Shedon
only
Sanders,
the people that believed the lie saw it coming. Because it never came. It never came close.
The team that's there right now saw the pieces coming together. The puzzle was coming together.
Blur.
Like, all right, look. You can see this happening.
Blur.
You got
Blair. Let me
Hunter,
get to
you
though.
The number two wide receiver. You got these offensive linemen coming in. You already got a quarterback who people are saying, you know what? If more eyes on him, he might be Heisman level. People were, and the rest of the HBCUs. I'm a Grambling alumni. I was rooting for on Jackson State against everybody else. Like, yo, you know what? Because if they win, that's good for everybody. Go ahead and let Shiloh and let Shedeur. Yeah, keep mentioning his name in these Heisman talks.
How is it good, though?
It wasn't just HBCU people talking about him for Heisman talk.
Because he's Deion's son. He's not up for the Heisman? Come on,
he's
bro.
He's not up for the
never getting put in the Heisman. He'll win the Walter Payton Award, maybe.
All he needed was
what does
the
talk.
Talk
do?
So when, what's the white dude who talks about Alabama all the time? He's on ESPN. He got his own radio show or whatever. When he's on First Take with Stephen A. Smith, and he's
talking about Matt.
No, the other one, the college dude. Can't think of his name right now. Dave Bellis.
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch Stephen A. anymore.
Nah, the old white dude. He's
talking about Skip, Mad Dog. Skip,
nah, not Mad Dog. No, the one who be on First Take still now. He's the he used to be all Alabama and all who?
I mean, nobody knows who he is. That's the whole point.
It's
gonna
come to me in a second. But when he's on First Take and he's talking about Shador Sanders, that's all that matters. Because, and again, a lot of people, I didn't go front, a lot of people didn't know about HBCUs and Black National Champions, and that's fine. But because of Prime and the eyes he was bringing, and he was getting more games on TV, again, you always got your four or five games a year.
The games
are trash. Four or five games are always going to be televised. And then after 1 year, he's got College Game Day coming, and he's got, all right, instead of just four or five, let's go six or seven. Imagine three more years, three more recruiting classes like that.
Still means nothing
so,
because the first year's gone. Remember, college football isn't the NFL. You can't build a roster out for 10 years. If
not even 10.
If you get a top 100 player, he lasts 3 years because he's going to the league. So you got 3 years to get him. So you keep losing the same kids. You're never actually growing a program. You're just the best HBCU. Awesome. Good job. Way to be.
Getting five stars. And you can see it now. Like, soon as he hit the thing, they said 200 people hit the portal with Colorado interested. He was going
HBCU.
That's what I'm talking about. That's
you
why
gotta remember
that he was at an HBCU.
Blur, but no, it doesn't, because he's bigger than HBCU. Like, that's the thing. It wasn't about HBCU. It's never been about HBCU. It's always been about Prime. Always.
And when
he's there,
Jeff. Hey, let me just
if you can tell me, name me another top 100 player that went to an HBCU that wasn't Jackson State.
Hey, look, I just want to interject real quick because y'all in a good discussion. We only got about 35 minutes left because y'all can go back and forth, and I think y'all having a good spirited discussion. I just want to put my point in there because I think the problem and the like what I've learned about being married to DJ C. Siren and having so many brothers that went to HBCUs, I think that what Hove is like, Hove isn't saying it's not about HBCUs because these other institutions are better. I think people who go to HBCUs have a little bit of a complex, and they think that people choose these other universities because they think it's better. I think people like me and Hove, and I'm only speaking for Hove just because, you know, we spent so much time together in college. When you play sports, like, we don't look at, and I think it's part of the difference that I'm learning with my family that went to HBCUs and us who went to other universities. We don't look at our university with the amount of pride as people who went to HBCUs. And I think this is the reason why Deion leaving hurt so much, because their universities mean something emotional to them. Whereas, yeah, it's part of your identity. It's part of you. Whereas, you know, me, Hove, like, we love our university. It's great, but we love it for the people that we were there with, the experiences that we had there, you know, the good times. But, like, the actual buildings, the actual yard, it's just where we chose to place football at because it was an opportunity for us.
the problem that HBCUs are always going to have, it's what I've always said in this discussion. The reason why I agree with Hove is that Prime would have, the promises that Prime was going to give were never going to come about just because you're asking the poorest demographic in the country to compete with the richest demographic in the country. You're not going to compete with these majority white schools, not because these white schools are better than these black schools, but the money that they put into these sports and these programs are going to be so overwhelming compared to what the HBCUs are able to provide that, yeah, a guy like Prime can come in and make a splash because he is the greatest cornerback. He's one of the flashiest, the best personalities we've ever seen. He's great at coach speak. I laugh all the time because when he started bringing God into it, and look, you never trust anybody like that. And I love God.
Nope.
But once somebody starts telling you God is telling them to do something, they just don't have the intelligence to tell you what it really is. I hate to be that type of person, but it's just how I personally feel. So
you speak in fact.
The funding that these predominantly white – I hate when y'all say PWI because it makes me feel like I chose a white school over a black school. It's like, nah, I just chose somewhere to play football.
Just go FBS versus FCS, bro. To not even have to say.
Yeah, because even if you compare Alabama versus Towson, two predominantly white institutions, if you brought Deion to Towson, he might get a couple good recruits, but the amount of money that Towson is willing to pour into athletics will never compare to what Alabama is. So they will never be able to compete. Yes, they'll have a couple kids who are
able to go. Let me ask you a question real quick, and I don't mean to interrupt, but let me ask you guys just a question.
Let me finish.
The money's important.
Let me finish. Hold on, Blur. I'll let you talk.
I want you to go, but I want you to answer this question when you're going. If none of the five stars are choosing Alabama, does that matter?
That's why I can mute you. Just wait a second. I'm trying to let everybody go. Amount of money is really the determining factor here. And I want HBCU people and people that I love and people who went there to understand that Deion isn't choosing a PWI because he thinks it's better than an HBCU. He probably had a better time at the HBCU. I had great times at HBCUs. I had a great time in my predominantly white institution. But nothing becomes great without an investment. We talk about hard work, putting in 1,000 hours to make something great. These white people have put 1,000 hours into their sports programs, where HBCUs probably only put about 100 just because of the timeline, just because of where we started as black folks. I don't think HBCU should even be trying to compete with these universities when it comes to sports. I would love to be on the big stage. I would love to be on the big stage. I could say, hey, be the greatest education. Be the Harvards of black people. Don't worry about the sports. Let these other white people pay us money for sports. You grow the doctors, the lawyers, the community leaders, the scientists. You grow them. Because a lot of them are state schools and only can get so much funding anyway. Like there's a whole nother subject when it comes to private versus state schools. I felt the discussion between Blur and Ho, but I just wanted to make sure, just because I know Ho, so I don't like speaking for other men, but I think I can speak to Ho in the sense that I don't want y'all to get the sense that Ho is saying that these white institutions are better than HBCUs. I think the point he's trying to make is that the investment and the financial impact that these white schools have over HBCUs, HBCUs will never be able to compete unless you combine all the rich black people and say, we're going to just choose one school and invest all this money in athletics. And that ain't happening. Blur, what was your question?
My question was the money is important, but the people, the kids are more important. So give Alabama their same budget. Give Alabama their same budget. Take all the black people off the roster. Put all the black people, spread them out over whatever HBCUs. Because this was what the goal was. Not necessarily the goal, but the intention is, hey, you guys don't have to go there.
I'm going to show you that you could go to HBCUs, or FCS schools, but specifically HBCUs for black talent going to HBCUs, and you could still get to the league. So give Alabama their $100 million.
Your math is off. There's not enough HBCUs to cover the amount of black athletes that go to Power 5 conferences.
Of course not. Of course not. But so, again, it was never going to be 100% saturation. But that's what I'm talking about. Like, all the talent go here. So give Alabama their same $100 million budget. Take all the good black talent off of there. Or again, not all, but, you know.
But you couldn't
whatever.
Do it.
I haven't watched Alabama so long, I don't know who their top players are. But whatever.
I mean, Bryce Young is the highest paid college player in the league, in the nation.
Who?
Let's say you could.
Bryce Young, quarterback for Alabama.
Okay.
Many of them.
But your point.
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is Blair's trying to create a scenario that can't ever exist. The investment that Alabama has, if you say take all the black people off Alabama, it don't matter what budget you give them, they're not going to be good at football because black people are good at football. Now, look, we
that's
got a white safety
point.
In Philly. We got a white safety in Philly, and we became America's team all of a sudden. But there's never going to be a situation where if you tell Alabama you can't have any black people in your football team, they're not going to invest in the football team. If they take that same $100 million budget and put it in golf, they're going to have the greatest golf team. And you know what they're going to get? The greatest golfers in the nation because they're investing in that sport.
But that's the point. That's the point. We're saying the money is important. Yes, facilities are important because that's what's going to attract the talent. So is flashiness and eyes and the energy that Deion Sanders was bringing. Because Travis Hunter didn't go to Jackson State because of the money. He went to hell.
No,
I want to learn from Deion.
He went because of Deion.
Who the top recruits Deion got? He got Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter is the top corner in the nation. Deion is the greatest corner of all time. He got his son. Okay. That's his son. And he got a good wide receiver.
Both his
sons. Was his son a senior?
Only one of them was really good, though.
No, the one that was playing.
The one that was really good. Yeah, he's a sophomore now.
The other one's a
senior. So he got the best corner. He got the best corner in high school who probably wants to learn from the greatest corner. And he got a son. He didn't get that many times.
Let's call him an athlete, the best athlete, because he was the number one overall recruit for offense and defense. But, again, that's in just one recruiting class. If he would have kept this thing going, and, again, we say it's 105 HBCUs, 52-man roster or whatever, fill them all up with the top black talent. Bam. Everyone else spread out.
Room.
Give Alabama the same 100 million talent.
Like, how did we get there? Like, yes, whatever conference gets the best black talent, yes, they are the best conference in the nation. Like,
and
that's Dia simple.
Was saying, but we're going to bring that here. We're going to bring the best black talent
to
HBCU.
Here's where you're missing. He can't do it. Like, it's impossible. Understand that Nick Saban got Bryce Young a $3 million NIL deal. I don't care what Deion tells some of these kids. When Nick go, hey, I got a mill on this NIL deal, they rolling with Nick.
And then Deion say, me and Under Armour.
But Deion offers one kid. He offers Travis Hunter. Yeah, Travis, I can get you this $3 million deal, but that's the only one I got. Nick, like,
well,
hey.
And then you go from there because Shiloh got a deal. Shador got a deal. And some of everybody don't get the $3 million. You're right. Everybody don't get the $3 million. But that's, again, that was the dream, the goal he was selling. And people were like, you know what? I can see it. Because if
only
we start
people
all
that don't
black
understand
talent
the landscape.
To HBCUs, we're going to dominate. And then once we get some of them, the rest of them are going to come.
Blair, I think you're missing that anybody that understands the college football landscape understood what Deion told them was not possible in Deion's lifetime. Like, there is no way that HBCUs as a whole were going to get – the same amount of top talent as Power 5 teams. And if you don't get the same amount of talent, you don't play the same brand of football. So never in Deion's life were all – Deion might have got enough to compete, but all HBCUs? Come on, bro. Like, you talking reckless. Like, we can put the top five HBCUs and give them all –
10 of the top 100, right? So that takes all the top 100 out of the running, and then they get the rest of their recruits, and they're still not as good as Power 5 football. Because there's 100 kids on a team.
Yeah.
Like, you have to understand the landscape of it all. Like, Alabama gave Bryce 3, but there's a bunch of dudes on Alabama making 7 figures. Bryce is just the highest in the nation. Like, where is Shador in the nation? And NIL, where is Shador in the nation?
Let me ask y'all a question. Just to Blair, I'll come back to you. Do you have a problem with Deion? Because we only got like 25 minutes left. Well, let me ask New York. New York, do you want to jump in on this? I know me, Blur, and I. Well, Blur, Hovind dominated the conversation. I had about 3 minutes. But New York, anything you want to say?
Nah, it's a teachable moment for me.
DJC Sire, your HBCU grad love, you got any problem with anything going on? I know you want to punch Hov in the face because you think Hov is shitting on HBCUs.
Yeah, shitting on them, but
it has nothing to do with HBCU football. Like, it's not as good. Like, I went to Towson. Towson, if we were talking about Towson, it'd be even worse.
I got to mute you, Hov, yo. You cutting off my wife, yo.
I was just trying to explain myself.
And my thing.
All right. Let me ask you this question. Do you have – yes, what Hov is doing, shitting on HBCUs. No, he's not. Let me ask you this, Blur. Do you have a problem with Deion using God to talk about – because my problem with Deion, because I wish he would have stayed at the HBCU. I honestly do. I had to feel – I told you all in the beginning, I didn't think this was going to last long, but I hope it did. I just hope he didn't shit on HBCUs. But do you have a problem with Deion talking about God elevating him? And that does that make HBCU people feel like it's a shot? That because he's now going to this PWI and he's talking about that God's elevating him, y'all are being a little bit defensive, which I think I would be too. I am defensive of it because my wife went to HBCU, even though I kind of feel like Deion wouldn't mean it that way, but it does suck to hear in my mind that he keeps talking about God's elevating me as if HBCUs are lower.
Well, yes, I know.
Go ahead.
No, I say yes and no, because he says elevate, and he says he goes back and forth between elevate and promote, and I always just take it to money, because I think a lot of people talk about that when they've been blessed by God, they're talking money or financially, and that's fine. I mean, God elevated you to a higher tax, well, maybe not even a higher tax bracket. He's been a millionaire for a long time. He ain't become a billionaire. He just gave up more of a millionaire, but yeah. So God elevated you to millions. Cool. Totally understand that. So I'm not really mad about that. I think when people get defensive is the whole flip-flop. And I don't pretend to be the most religious person. I don't know how God gives you a goal or gives you down a path and then says, go this way down. Maybe that happens. I haven't read the whole Bible. I think I've made it through, you know, at points. So I know some of the stories. I don't know how often he changes people's, say, hey, I got a goal for you to go do this, and then he stops him at the very beginning and says, nah, don't do that goal. I want you to go do this goal. Maybe he does do that. I don't know. But I think that's where people are like, come on, man. Now you're just playing. You're playing because you said it and you sold us on it and we believed you, and you said, hey, God called me to collect to come and do this for HBCU. I had to answer. Sounds good. Sounds great. And, I mean, I've watched enough Joel Osteen and T.D. Jakes. I know when people are just talking. If you believe it, I believe it. If you say that's what you're going to do, then I trust you that's what you're going to do. And then you say, well, you know what? Once he came with the $5 million, God gave me a different goal. All right, come on, man. Now you're just being disingenuous, which is, you know, if you're going to be that. I think people get more upset with the using of God in that way, more so than saying God elevated you to take you away from black people or from HBCU, because not black people, because you're still there for the black people at the PWIs, apparently.
Yeah, that was my problem. It's like God made a mistake. And it's just like, come on, yo. Like, just say you left.
Am I unmuted?
Yeah, I'll mute you for a
second. Hey, I'm just going to throw it out. Like, I don't know if y'all seen the meme where the dude said, he was talking about the same thing, and he was like, yeah, Deion still got called by God. He said, God said, I see my 10% of 300,000, and I see my 10% of 5 million. He said, yeah, we taking our talents to Colorado, where I was dead. Because people was hot, though.
Yo, the memes about Deion Sanders have been great with this, because you knew black people attacking Deion has been a little bit rough. I've had this conversation with Blur. Deion didn't do anything wrong. I will fight, and I know Blur doesn't agree, but when it comes to what's wrong and what's right in this life, coaching football, as long as you're not abusing kids or choosing to coach at one university versus another, there's nothing wrong or right about it. There's nothing wrong. There can't be anything wrong about it because it's just a job. Using God in these decisions and telling people God told you to do something and then God changed his mind and told you to do another, you're placating, especially when it comes to the black community, who's had such a strong relationship with God when it comes to slavery and all this stuff. I feel like you're trying to use Jesus as an out, because black people won't question you if you say God, except me. And I love God. Sometimes I tell you it's bullshit.
Say it the other way, bro.
Go ahead.
I feel you 100%, but I think it's the other way. Like, I think he was selling black people on him going to Jackson State. Like, God's calling me to save HBCUs. Like, he's selling black people in that conversation. Like, so everybody got sucked in. Like Blur said, like, I might not believe you, but if you believe it, like, I'm with it. And everybody, like, when you think about how you get the most black people, like, that's one of the ways. Like, you start talking about God called me, God's for this, and people just get behind you. Like, they may not
that's
even listen to the
problem.
Words you're saying, but they get behind you. So he built them all up to get behind them. Mission accomplished, right? Like, I got to get the people to believe me for the players to come.
But that's
you.
And I don't think he necessarily needed people to believe him.
He did.
Right,
he absolutely needed the people to believe him.
See, this is
go
the
ahead,
thing.
Blur.
I feel like he could have been straight up. He could have been straight up because, and Gunn, I think you'll believe this. I think you'll remember this because when we came on, when he first got the job, and I think, I don't remember who was on with us, then I was talking like, hey, once his kids get done, he'll probably be out. Because that was kind of my timeline for him the whole time. Like, he's coaching. But I think he really just wants to coach his kids to make sure they get in the league, both of them, if not Shador specifically. And more importantly, man, I think he really believes Shador got a chance to get the Heisman, which is why I think he was more so, aside from even just the money, to say, hey, my son's got a real chance of being a Heisman Trophy winner. I'm going to go all in and try to get him somewhere where he can get that. Because you're right, I'm not going to front. He's not going to get the Heisman there, not at all. I don't even remember
what – He's
not
even in the top 10 quarterbacks in his class.
I don't even remember what Steve McNair – I know Steve McNair was, like, listed, but I don't know what he got. So he probably could have got to the Steve McNair level where he don't win, but he's in the conversation. Paul Feinbaum, that's the dude I was talking about. When Paul Feinbaum was mentioning you on ESPN, first
Paul's
take –
Paul's an idiot.
I mean, he's got clout, and he's on once a week for 4 hours.
Like,
so, I mean, he got
a lot
media attention. So he is the media. So, like – So he probably could have got to the Steve McNair level, or even maybe even higher than Steve McNair because he's got Deion behind him. Maybe he don't win. So Deion's like, all right, you know what? I'm going to find a way to get him to win. Damn whoever else I made promises to. Damn whoever else I have to break promises with. I'm going to do what's right for me, my son, and my family. And so to that, Gunner said, all right, you know what? If you're doing what's right for you and yours, cool. But there's no, and I got to give credit where I heard this from, it's from Mark Schlereth on ESPN. Maybe I watch too much ESPN. He said, there's no right way to do a wrong thing. you are breaking promises to people. You are setting back other people. You are hurting other people, whether it be certain kids at JSU, because, again, it happens everywhere that don't make it right, the school itself. You're breaking these promises to people, and you're negatively affecting other people. Yes, you're doing what's right for you, but you're doing what's wrong for somebody else. So when you say he didn't do anything wrong, he's a football coach. He's leaving. It happens. Hey. But you had a lot of people get in the car with you to go somewhere for you to just hop out and say, hey, you know what? I'm over here now at a whim. At a whim. Because, hey, there was no writing on the wall specifically saying, hey, this is coming. He gave that 160 Minutes interview a couple months ago and said, hey, I have to entertain it. He was mum's the word before that. Hugh Jackson at Grambling right now, when he was on the Pivot or whatever, they asked him. He said, yeah, I ultimately want to get back into coaching in the NFL. If that becomes available, I'm going to take it. So when Hugh Jackson gets an offer to go back to the NFL, if he does, you think anyone in Grambling is going to be surprised? Just be upfront. Be real. You don't have to lie.
But Hugh Jackson isn't being believed to save HBCUs. You can't save HBCUs and say, as soon as the NFL job, as soon as the Power 5 job comes open, I'm taking it. Nobody's going. Blur, like, you got to understand the hustle. Like, college coaching is a hustle because it's all about recruits. So you got to sell. And the sell is, yeah, we doing all this. Saying is that no college coach could ever leave their job, because you always make a promise to a kid because that's how you get them to your school.
Yeah,
but you have to also understand the business. Because you're black doesn't make it any different. Like, it's like he's being held at a different standard because he's black. Every coach says, I'm going to be here and I got a plan and this is what it is. And I believe that they actually do have the plan. But if something jumps in that changes that plan and it's way better than the plan that I got written and it's guaranteed, I'm going to go ahead and take this plan.
That's why I disagree. I don't think he's being held to a higher standard. I think it's the fact that, hey, one of ours is doing this to us specifically, so it's a different
circumstance.
That's
a higher standard.
Not higher, just a different circumstance. Because Black Twitter don't care
one of ours
when Nick Saban
is doing. Let me ask you this, Blair. Black Twitter doesn't care when Nick Saban leaves
Miami. They don't care. That's not registering to them. So it's not a higher standard. It's a different group of people.
White people were very upset when Nick Saban left LSU and went to Alabama.
That's what I'm saying. So it's not a higher standard. Everybody is going to get backlash.
But hold on. Let me ask you this. Do you think anybody, LSU fans, said one of ours did this to us? No. That's the higher standard. Automatically. Like, as soon as you say one of ours, it's a higher standard. Because now he's more than a college football coach to you. So that's a higher standard.
Let me ask y'all this. Do you think this is the first time that HBCUs realize that the attention, the hype, the love that came from the outside world, they felt it was shining a light on HBCUs, and they felt that love. They felt that warm embrace from so many people. And then once Deion got up and left, they realized, damn, it wasn't about the HBCU. It was about Deion. And that's what made people upset because, and Blur said this, don't put all this love on us unless it's about us. If this is about you, then you shouldn't come. And I think that's where the pride of black people who went to HBCUs comes in, because, you know, when we went to college, like, we didn't go to college because of the university. We went because a coach recruited us, felt like it was a good opportunity. Like, I was recruited by a bunch of black schools. I didn't go there just because the facilities didn't look good. Like, I ended up picking Towson just because I felt like I could play early. I wasn't going to waste 4 years. And the facilities were nice. And they were building a new stadium, and it was like, it was dope. I could be a part. I get a new locker room and all this stuff. But I feel like the switch becomes, like, when you have that HBCU pride that I see in so many of my families, it's about the HBCU. Deion put so much attention on HBCUs, and then when he got up and left, it felt like, oh, the attention wasn't genuine. It was just for him. But most of us who watch so much college sports and, like Hov said, understands the hustle, it's always going to be about the coach. That's why Nick Saban was successful at LSU. That's why Nick Saban was successful at Alabama, because he's a great coach. It's the same reason why Lane Kiffin was successful at, you know, FIU or wherever the fuck he was at, and is now successful at Ole Miss, because it's never going to be about the university when it comes to sports. When it comes to just going to college and having the experience, for a lot of you people who just go to school just to go to school, you should pick the school because of the school. There's no athlete who's good that's going to pick a school to play sport at because of the school. It's going to always be about the coach, the facilities. Well, now it's probably going to be about the NIL money, the coach, and the facilities.
I don't think that's a hot take. I feel like most people realize that. And, again, maybe because I was at Grambling Wild, Doug Williams was there, so I have a different perspective because I've seen it firsthand. And Grambling being the historical, you know, figurehead that it was for so long for HBCUs and, you know, Eddie Robinson and then Doug Williams and yada, yada, yada. I remember I was putting together a thing with the Special Olympics, and we had the head of the Special Olympics coming down there and everything. So I went and got to the president. I was like, hey, we want you to be in this photo with them. I was like, hey, Doug is going to be there. And she was like, oh, great. As long as you got the head guy there, that's what matters. So, yeah, people know and understand that football universities, the head coach is the man. The head coach is the top dog. That might be different at maybe Duke or Kansas or something like that. But for the most part, it's the head football coach. And I think most people understand that. So when they say, hey, the love is going to leave when Deion leaves, I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is the reason why Deion's leaving. Maybe it is for the money and it is the PWI. But it's like, hey, dog, you just got here. I told you, Gunn, I watched, it was a 15-minute video of a chick at JSU interviewing just the people at JSU. She was walking around just talking to the people on campus. 50% of them was like, yo, I'm a regular student here. I didn't care. I didn't go to Deion University. I came to Jackson State University. It don't bother me one way or another. He didn't do nothing for the regular kids here. And one chick was like, you just got here, though. You just got here. So I've been here 3 years. I'm still a freshman. You just got here, and you gone. That's where the feelings are coming from. It's like, dog, you just got here with these lofty goals, and you didn't even give it a real shot. So, yeah, other coaches, they could get into other people. They could go sit down house and lie. And I say lie, but you go. They have plans. Say, hey, I'm going to be here. We're going to run this. I'm going to get you to the league, yada, yada, yada. Uh-oh, this person got fired. I'm going over there. That happens. I think most people understand that. And if that was only case, then that's fine. But when you say, and again, maybe it's the God part, when you say, hey, my goal isn't just this. My goal isn't just winning games. My goal is to build this whole thing up. So when you jump ship, all right, yeah, a little bit more people are eyes on you. I don't think it's a higher standard, but, hey, you got a lot more eyes on you now because you're black, talking to black people about specifically doing things for black people. So when Nick Saban leaves Miami, somebody pointed out, like, hey, they dogged him out for 2 years. The first two seasons after that, he was still getting bad-mouthed in the media. This ain't even been 2 weeks for Deion Sanders, and you got a whole other set of level and eyes on you. Not a higher standard, but, hey, the criticism is, I think, warranted and should be coming.
Hold on, yo.
But how is higher standard?
Hold on, Hov. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you finish up before we end up. But Blur said something that shocked me. Who was getting interviewed that said that they've been there 3 years and they still a freshman? Like, we got to talk to Jackson.
I cracked up. I cracked up, man. Maybe she ain't know what she wanted to do, man. Maybe she's just taking a bunch of random classes to figure it out. It was a chick.
Look, Dion's stealing money. Well, Jackson State's stealing money and stealing credits from people. Go ahead, host.
Have
yeah, hold on. I think I went. Oh, my bad. I thought I was on mute. But nah, I'm just.
Nah.
What was the last? I forget what I was gonna say, bro. I ain't gonna lie.
Okay. Yeah, I'll talk about the fudge. But I mean, it's always interesting topics. We only got about 3 minutes left, so. Go ahead, Hov.
Now I was just gonna say, he said it's more eyes on you, like. All the weight of HBCUs was now on Dion's shoulders. That's a higher standard. Like, regardless of how you want to put it, it's a higher standard. Like, you're expecting him to do something different than what every college coach in college football has done in the new era where people are getting seven-figure deals as a college football coach. Like, that's a higher standard. Regardless of how you spin it, like, you're expecting him to do something different than what everybody else would do.
And see,
you're making 300.
If everybody
I'm going to offer you
was
5
saying
minutes.
This, I'm going to do this. Now, go ahead.
Don't matter. But if I say, hey, bro, you making 300, I'm going to give you 5 mil. Who turning that down? Like, nah, I owe these people. What?
I mean, and Dion,
if your brother said that to you, you'd be like, come on, bro, take that 5 mil, bro. You don't owe nobody nothing. But all of a sudden, because it's him, nah, you owe us.
Look, and Dion elevated
Jackson. I'm taking
that
5 mil.
But, look, we got to close up, man. But, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Blur might have known DJ Cesare might have known, but us that are not in a different world, I had no idea what Jackson State was until Dion went there. Now, I want to get a hat. I'm sure they're going to be on clearance now that Dion left. Should be able to get a nice fitted pretty cheap. But, you know, Dion definitely brought eyes there, brought attention there, and won them 2 championships and had an undefeated season. I think that's job well done. You know what I mean? I don't know how anyone could complain unless you just had lofty goals that I thought were never attainable. I'm with Hove on that. The things that Dion was preaching, I just didn't think ever was possible. But it's been a great show. I knew this Dion topic was going to take a while. That's why I didn't start with it. We talked about it for about 1 hour and 20 minutes. There's still some more nuances that go to this. I still want to know if y'all rooting for Dion now or if you're not. But we can talk about that next week. It's been a fun show. A lot of good comments, a lot of good discussion. Blur and Hove went at it. But we're going to end it like that, man. DJ Cesare, you got anything to say before we roll?
Does Brittany Griner have a mustache?
Yo, that's New York in a strip club. Look at the pictures. New York, getting a lap dance, eating chicken wings. Hove, you got anything to say before we roll?
Yeah, yo, don't get mad at me, Blur and Sea Siren, but I was actually hoping Dion came to ASU. I was like, he need to come here, change this program out here. But anyway, man, if you get offered 5 mil and you only making 300 and you giving half of that 300 to somebody else, that 5 mil.
Blur, you got anything to say before we roll?
I will reiterate this because it sounds like y'all all agree that he was lying or, you know, selling snake oil. Bomani said he was the monorail salesman from The Simpsons, just saying stuff out there hoping people believe it. So I'll reiterate, there's no right way to do a wrong thing. Yeah, I'll take the 5 mil too. I tell everybody I know, take the 5 mil, but take it knowing that you're screwing somebody else over. Yeah, I mean, 5 mil probably will help you sleep a lot better at night knowing that. But you are screwing somebody else over.
I don't know how you can generate millions for a city and that be a screw over. But we just disagree, and we'll have that discussion next week. Because I wanted to get to that about the money that Dion brought to the city and how anybody can be upset with him. and to HBCU. So we, man, we still got a lot more to talk about because this is a great nuanced discussion. New York, floor is yours, man.
Look, all I'm going to say is this, you know what I mean? Shout out to Deion Sanders for taking that opportunity, you know what I mean? No matter if you're screwing people over or whatever it is, you know what I mean? You did a good service, you know what I mean? And I think you should get paid for it. You got a new opportunity out of you that will support you, your life, your family's life, and the generations that come behind you. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you know what I mean, people change jobs. They leave with the knowledge of everything. Somebody's going to get screwed over eventually at a point. But, you know what I mean, these businesses and everything keep rolling. You know what I mean? If you want your shit, you know what I mean, just replace them and try to get somebody better. Y'all just keep rolling that way. Other than that, you know what I mean, I'm glad Brittany Griner is home. I don't think that the trade was fair, but I will honestly say that glad she's home, glad that she can spend the holidays with her family, this, that, and the third. You know what I mean, it's messed up what they did to her hair. Like, I hope she kept her locks or they gave her back her locks. They could have gave her a better fade and, like, rusher than that, but, like, I'm glad that she's home with her family and back in the States. Yeah, you know I mean, support the holiday season and with our family. Other than that, you know what I mean, hope y'all can do the same with y'all family. Holiday season coming up, finish the year strong, all of that. You know what I mean, I look forward to the next conversation. You are.
Yeah, I will say this. I'm closing out, and again, we can finish discussing this later. If Deion fails at Colorado, the black people are going to kill him. The amount of memes and internet traffic that will be making fun of Deion
will be massive
if he fails at Colorado.
Yeah.
He's going to fail.
We're too forgiving.
You think he's going to fail at Colorado?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. That's a guarantee. I think he succeeds. I think we'll look back and see that Deion was a no-brainer to be a great coach.
Well, I'll
again,
say
gotta define what's failure.
Failure is not making a national championship to me.
National championship?
Oh,
anything
yeah.
short of that is failure?
Because that's what he said. I'm holding him to his standard. He said he will dominate Power 5 football. That's the national championship.
Well, then how can you be mad at – if you're going to hold him to that standard, how are you going to be mad at holding him to the standard that he had for black school?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm
not mad at him. I've never been mad at him. I just said he lied.
I said mad at Blair. Yeah, we all thought he was a liar. I knew Deion was a liar. As soon as you said God, I said, oh, he's lying. I've been around him lying. I've been around him preacher pimps way too much in my life. Yo, we got a lot to discuss next week. It's been fun. My bad, New York nerd. You're always supposed to have the last word, but I just had that thought. All right, well, we'll be out, yo.
Elon Musk swim-flammed us for the underground train.
My bad. I did forget my wife. DJ Shesire, you got anything to say before we roll?
Good night.
You just said something about Elon Musk, and then when I called on you.
I said he swim-flammed. I said Deion swim-flammed them like Elon Musk swim-flammed us because we should be riding to D.C. in 30 minutes with an underground train.
Elon Muskie. I'm sorry.